add up the pennies and the pounds will take care of themselves, my granny used to say.
Whoops, I guess granny didn't hear. No pennies anymore. Stephen Harper cut those too. But we'll take nickels. We'll take dimes. We'll take loonies and toonies and $5 bills and $50 bills and even $100 bills.
You can donate at rabble.ca/donate.
Rabble.ca/donate. Every little bit or every large bit helps.
This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Got a vote. Got a vote. Got a vote.
And we're cruising into the end of week 6 of the 2015 federal election. Just a bit more than 4 weeks to go before we have a conclusion to this long wrangle, cat fight, dueling banjos, whatever kind of fight this characterizes for you. I'm Victoria Fenner, and this is Election Sound Up from Rabble.ca. On today's show, there are a lot of high points and low points this week. Polls teeter-totter back and forth. First, the NDP is leading, and then, whoops, the Conservatives are coming up on the center rail. They're pulling ahead, but then, what do we hear? Stephen Harper said, old stock Canadians? The Conservative horse is slowing down. And so the horse race continues. Welcome to today's Day at the Races. First up on today's show, the Leap Manifesto, a call for a Canada based on caring for the earth and one another, is a call to action intended for the next government, whoever they are. So far, it's been signed by over 50 organizations, including Oxfam, Idle No More, the Labour Movement, Council of Canadians, Greenpeace, and over 100 individual signatories of scientists, economists, artists, and activists. The manifesto warns us that climate scientists have told us that this is the decade to take decisive action to prevent catastrophic global warming. That means small steps will no longer get us where we need to go. So we need to leap. On Tuesday, a cast of notable Canadians held a press conference to announce the Leap Manifesto. It was hosted by Naomi Klein. It was joined by a dozen others. In this next excerpt, we'll hear from some of those speakers. You'll hear from David Suzuki, Naomi Klein, Ashley Collingbull, Maud Barlow, and beginning with Stephen Lewis.
In 10 days' time, the General Assembly of the United Nations is engaged in what is the most momentous and qualitative discussion they've had in a long time on the new sustainable development goals. And part of those goals is the whole question of climate change and how it is addressed. And this Leap Manifesto will therefore be circulated amongst all of the countries of the General Assembly of the UN, and it will clearly and indisputably enter the discussions and the debates. The other beauty of the timing, of course, is that it comes at a moment just relatively prior to the major international conference in Paris in December on climate change. And you can be certain that the Leap Manifesto will again be circulated amongst all the participants. But if I may be parochial without being political, I think it's worth noting that not only that has emerged during the course of a campaign, but whomever wins this campaign on October 19th, this manifesto then becomes a singular agenda for Canada for ongoing debate and implementation. It gives everyone the sense that there is a vision out there that can transform this country again into a leader in the world. And having the manifesto do that in the post-election period is a very exciting prospect, no matter which party comes out on top.
Jeremy Singer from ET Canada. I'd first like to direct my question at David. There's a lot of prolific entertainment figures from the industry attached to this initiative. Why do you think that why celebrity influencers can initiate change for this cause?
Well, obviously, it's an entry point into people who pay a lot of attention to celebrities. It offers an opportunity to share a few ideas they might not otherwise have had. I remember Paul Watson, Sea Shepherd head, did an initiative where he brought in the woman who was the star of Tim. But I think what they do is they offer their ability to attract press to let people like Naomi talk to the wide world. I think there's nothing wrong with that.
just as we hear back from different artists and people from, you know, all kinds of different, you know, areas of the arts, maybe you wouldn't describe them necessarily as celebrities, some of them you would, they're people, and they're really freaked out about climate change, and they're really grateful to be able to do something about it. You know, Tegan and Sarah, fantastic band, you know, in BC, they want to use their tour to push this out, you know? So yeah, Neil Young, we all expect that from him, and it's fantastic. But I mean, we were really struck that Leonard Cohen signed his name to this. He doesn't do political stuff. People are, this reflects the urgency of the issue, but I want to ask Ashley if she wouldn't mind saying a few words, because she's just been so awesome. She's got a platform and she's using it, you know, and it isn't just about opening the spotlight. She's got a lot to say.
I myself am an actor, but I also do pageants, but I'm using it as a way to talk about issues that really matter. I'm not your typical beauty queen. I'm not going to walk around and just be pretty. I'm going to talk about issues that are really affecting people in Canada, First Nations people, and this is something that's affecting the world. And having the following that I have on all my social media, people follow me, people are inspired by the things I have to say. And having that following is such a huge impact on so many people. I mean, people are actually listening to what I have to say, they're inspired, and they're moved by it. And they're feeling inclined to actually care as well. I mean, I'm talking about something that is affecting everyone on this planet, and people are like, wow.
It's Avery Haynes from City TV, and I'm just wondering how you take the people who were up here, who are such heavy hitters, both celebrities as well as in the environment movement, how do you take this and move it into the halls of Parliament Hill so it actually does make change, as opposed to being a bunch of like-minded people agreeing that there needs to be change?
Well, I'd like to speak to the fact that polling shows that Canadians are well ahead of the political parties, most of the political parties, in terms of this issue. And so we don't feel that we're sort of out front and Canadians are back there somewhere. We think that this LEAP manifesto actually speaks to the vision and the caring that we know the polling shows Canadians have. So we feel they're ahead. Canadians are ahead of where most of the political parties are now, and we need them. This manifesto gives them the tool to say in this election, and I see it just as incredibly important that the timing is now for this, in this election, that this is the vision. You must speak to it. You cannot ignore this. You cannot just be fighting a rearguard action here. The crisis is too real, and I want to remind us that the prairies had the worst drought since the 1930s this summer, and all indication is that this is not a one-off. This is the beginning of a real serious long-term drought on the prairies in Canada. We are not exempt in this country from the effects of climate change and the abuse of our water, and ordinary Canadians know this. We know this with our hearts, and so this is a way to say, now I have a tool, you must listen. I feel Canadians are way, way ahead of our politicians on this.
And that was an excerpt from the launch of the LEAP Manifesto. It was a press conference held on Tuesday in Toronto. The election call caught everybody by surprise. Well, sort of. We knew it was coming, but we just didn't know when. Here at Rabble.ca, we've been preparing for it since last year. Here's a look behind the scenes at what we've been doing at Rabble with Editor-in-Chief Megan Perry.
We sort of prepared a number of different initiatives, one of them that are running now. So one of them is called Fact Check, which is basically taking different statements that the parties have made during the campaign to date and deconstructing them to see are they true or not true. That's a series that's ongoing now at Rabble. And at the same time, we were sort of working with the resources that we have, because, of course, Rabble has an enormous group of experts and committed advocates and journalists who are always writing on issues that affect Canadians. So we put the big call out to them to prepare ideas for when the election came. And so they've been rolling that out, you know, through our columns and through our features section at Rabble. And at the same time, we were updating the activist toolkit. So that space on Rabble provides resources for activists across Canada who, you know, everything from how to write a petition to primers on different issues and how they've affected Canadians. So one of the big issues this election has been voting, and with the Fair Elections Act, there have been some barriers thrown up in the way of voting. So our activist toolkit has a special voting section. So how to vote, resources for voting, voter mobilization, sort of a get out the vote section. Now, so that was something that we were preparing before this, before the election was called.
So when the election call happened, were you totally caught off guard or did you see it coming?
Not completely surprised. There was a lot of speculation about when it would happen. And so we were not entirely surprised by it, but it did seem early.
And how has that early call made your job harder as editor-in-chief?
Well, I think, you know, I think that a lot of the media in general, and Rabble too, is, you know, covering a long election sort of decreases the intensity, which is a bit, I guess, nice. You know, we can sort of think out things more and produce things over time. So that's nice. But at the same time, I do think that the public may be a bit is interested, but it's also that the announcements come more slowly and that kind of thing. So it can be a bit of a challenge.
So Megan, looking ahead to Election Day, it's coming. What is your day going to look like, do you think?
Election Day is always super exciting, right? So I personally, in my personal life, I usually have a whole bunch of friends come over and watch the election with me. Of course, we'll be providing a Twitter following the election, and we will be doing what Rabble does best, which is to have a great Babble discussion and to prep some analysis for the day after. Yeah, I expect it will be busy, but a lot of fun.
That's Megan Perry, Rabble.ca's editor-in-chief. Still a bit over a month to go in the second longest federal election in Canadian history. Here at Rabble.ca, we're all pacing ourselves so we're in good shape for the final laps. And finally, all this electioneering is hard work, and it always helps to sing. Congratulations to the people who organized Harper Man sing-alongs yesterday across the country. At least 46 sing-alongs happened yesterday. You can go to www.harperman.ca for an update on how it all went. And though the National Sing-Along Day is over, you can still keep on singing it. We're going to end today's show with another piece of music. There's one good thing about the Harper regime. We have lots of new protest songs. Here's one by Halifax musician Kyle McKenna and his group, The Caravan. It's called What Up, Steve?
What up, Steve? Thanks for cutting CBC. From all those people making music with our hearts on our sleeves, we squeeze rocks and write it while we're making them bleed. But then you're dropping the axe and you're cutting the feed, man. You're taking what we need while you listen to Creed. And you romance your wife, but she listens to me. Hey, Loreen. Yeah, thanks for raising the taxes. $13 billion from the masses. Pickpocketed tactics, you're sneaky like a rat is. Contempt in parliament, you should've got your ass kicked. But your treason gets treated like it's reason. And you could only seize the seat for a season, Steven. Cross our borders, and you want to privatize healthcare and sort of make sure we export our resources so your little grubby hands can afford some Porsches. Shit, Steve, are you forgetting where you come from? Or you don't give a fuck about the people you run from? I see it in your eyes, so smug and blatant, and your auto dial home so the polls are baking. What up, Steve? To individuals with principles that interact with people who take action unconditional at biblical proportions, admissible extortion, keep it underground with that invisible importance, retorting with attitude, dismantle your platitude, reporting with cohorts at each and every latitude. I cut a channel through the views, use a hamper you, I'm lighting the short fuse, the smoke plumes overdue.
Steve.
That was Halifax rapper Kyle McKenna and his hip-hop group, The Caravan, calling out Stephen Harper for everything from CBC cuts and contempt of Parliament to the privatization of healthcare and all points in between. Thanks to Kyle for permission to use this on our show. I found it on a website of the Winnipeg chapter of the Council of Canadians. Go look for the top 50 Stephen Harper protest songs. There's a great collection there. And thanks to the Council of Canadians for putting this together. In times like this, we just gotta dance and play music.
Turn the tide. Turn the tide. They try to tell us black is really white.
And now we need to dance our way out of this show and into the weekend. Taking us out, our customized theme song by Charlie Chiarelli and Seven String Sam. I'm Victoria Fenner, and you've been listening to Election Soundup No. 3, September 18th edition. Talk to you next week.